You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai Show with Richard Kaufman and Paul Eales.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai Show as Rafa returns to form with victory at the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open.
I have been fighting for this win for many years. It has been a long wait, but it certainly pays out just this very moment.
Cabrera Bello's first win since 2012 came in a playoff win over the unlucky outsider Callum Shinquin.
End of the day, I would have been more than happy to finish second, but obviously the win was on my mind and it didn't happen. But it's all part of a learning curve, and obviously if you win, you have to have the luck on your side, so it wasn't there for me.
Coming up, we'll have a full review of all the events at Dundonald Links, and then we'll turn our attention to the Open at Royal Birkdale, and we'll hear from the likes of Rory McIlroy, Matt Kuchar, and the man who claimed the claret jug last time we were here, Audric Harrington.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to my golf at the moment. That's the main thing.
So lots to look forward to as the countdown begins to the 146th Open Championship. Hello, I'm Richard Kaufman. With me is Paul Eales, a winner on the European Tour, Challenge Tour, and Senior Tour. That's some CV you got, Paul.
Yeah, not bad for an old fella, Rich.
We're coming greenside, aren't we? Right by the 18th here at Royal Birkdale. The build-up continues for this Open Championship.
Yeah, it really is stunning this afternoon, isn't it, with the sun setting there and the flags just fluttering. I'm hoping that those flags will be a little bit stiffer as the week goes on to challenge these great players this week.
We talked about your CV, and you've just been playing, obviously, on the European Senior Tour in the week just gone, but this is a golf course you know so well, of course, as well.
Yes, I am fortunate enough to be a member here and play around it whenever I get the opportunity. Don't play off the back tee, so it'll be fascinating for me just to see how these great players with all their power make the way around these fantastic links.
So we're just sat to the right of the 18th green with these humongous grandstands. Ahead of us is the famous yellow scoreboard, but of course, come Sunday evening, they'll be writing congratulations to so-and-so for being the champion golfer of the year. I just wonder who it's going to be. And obviously, we'll be looking ahead to the potential champions for this 146th Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. The course, Paul, I've got to say, looks magnificent, doesn't it? I suppose you wouldn't expect anything less.
Well, there was actually quite a worry back in sort of Easter time going into May that it was very, very dry period. The wind was in a different direction and that the course was absolutely white, which you would expect at this time of the year for an Open Championship. So it was almost a little bit ahead of the time. But fortunately, we've had some rains now. It's greened up. The rough's got a little bit thicker to challenge the players in some parts. But on the whole, this is as good as it's going to get.
Yeah, gorgeous weather, absolutely clear blue skies. There's not really any cloud formation at all. You can see the flags fluttering, the flag of India to the right of the scoreboard as we're looking, Germany, and then across the grandstand, all different flags with so many countries, of course, represented at the Open Championship. And of course, we'll have a full preview to come later in the show. But before all of that, let's turn our attention to the weekend's action. It was some action, wasn't it? Rafa Cabrera Bello birdieing the first playoff hole to defeat Callum Shinquin to claim the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open at the Dundonald Links in Ayrshire. Cabrera Bello and Shinquin, to remind you, both finished on 13 under after the Spaniard carded a course record 64 in his final round to force that playoff with Shinquin, who missed out on a victory after needing six shots on the par 5 18th. Matthew Pavon of France was third on 10 under par, with Harrington, Kuchar, Wall, Fox and Doat all tied for fourth on 8 under par. It was an incredible finish, wasn't it, Paul? I mean, you thought, really, coming into the final couple of holes, that Shinquin had it in the bag.
Yes, it looked that way. He played so, so well for somebody that's never really been in that position. I mean, it's his first year on the European Tour. Yes, he didn't win, but he's got his card secured for next year. But it really did look like the way he was playing, nothing was going to stop him from winning the Scottish Open title. But unfortunately, that wasn't the situation.
Yeah, it's an incredible journey it had been this season for Callum Shinquin. He had a spell where he missed nine cuts in a row. He felt something just clicked around the time of the French Open. It looked like this was going to be his breakthrough win. A former English amateur champion beat actually Matt Fitzpatrick, I think, in the 2013 final. So we're talking about a superb player here. But I don't know, what was it course management, wrong decision made at 18. Do you think he should have laid up there? It was only a par he needed at a par five, after all.
Yeah, it's great in hindsight to think that things should have been different for him coming down that last hole. He did have an experienced caddy, Andy Sutton, on the bag, who won the Open way back with Ben Curtis, if you remember that. And between them, you know, Callum's played so well. Why would he ever think anything could go wrong? But, you know, you've got to think to yourself in that situation, where do I not want to hit this? And all the trouble on that 18th was sort of level with the flag, both left and right. And unfortunately for him, he found an awkward spot just to the left of the hole. And unfortunately couldn't get down in the three shots that he needed.
Interesting, actually. We've got some players ahead of us here on the 18th. An interesting three ball, isn't it? Pat Perez, Justin Thomas and Jos Lauten. You wouldn't exactly necessarily put those three together, but I suppose you put your name up on the board to start with, Paul. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how it works on an Open Championship. And sometimes the guys know when they're arriving and they'll play with their own buddies. But, you know, usually you'll come if you're early, you know, Monday, they'll just stick the names down and go off at the time that they want to play.
Back to the Scottish Open then. Rafa Cabrera-Bello. I mean, it was some final round, but we talked about Callum Shinquin's decision-making. Sometimes you just need a break, don't you? And boy, did he get a break at the 72nd hole.
Yes, he did. And I think, you know, any time you can shoot 64 in the final round, you pretty much deserve to win. And Rafa played beautifully, had a couple of big putts, but the shot you're referring to, that second into the par 5 18th, that looked for all it was going to go into the water hazard to the right, finished on the bank, he chipped and putted for birdie 4, and wow, what a difference that made.
Yeah, and what a shot he hit into 18, second time around, the championship clinching shot, which set him up for the birdie 4 that saw him beat Callum Shinquin, who could do no better than a par 5. Well, let's hear from the winner, shall we? A very pleased Rafa Cabrera-Bello.
I'm over the moon. I have been fighting for this win for many years. I'm very happy and very proud that it has come in the Scottish Open and obviously a part of the Rolex Series event. It has been a long wait, but it certainly pays out just this very moment.
64 on the final day, but it took a playoff hole to win it, so in dramatic circumstances, really.
Yes, I mean, I played the best golf of my life today, handled myself really good throughout the entire day, and the playoff just went superb. I mean, I hit two great shots, and luckily birdie was enough to win.
I suppose, Paul, in a way, it's a long overdue win. You have to go back to, what, Dubai 2012, six runners-up finishes since then, so kind of surprised that he's had to wait that long, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But, you know, he's been going on a journey that's taken him across the water to America, and he's played a lot of golf over there. David Ledbetter helps him with his golf game. So he's trying to become a worldwide player. So maybe had he have focused all his attentions in Europe, that he may have won a little bit before. But he's certainly a player that's getting better and better and stronger as the weeks go by.
So Rafa, the champion, as we know, Callum Shinquin, who before this tournament was world number 405, finished second. But despite missing out on the top spot, the man from Watford was pleased with his performance.
Yeah, it's been a very good week. End of the day, I would have been more than happy to finish second, but obviously the win was on my mind and it didn't happen.
You had a great round up until that 18th hole. Were there a few nerves there because you knew what was at stake in a Rolex Series event?
I mean, of course there's a little bit of nerves, but to be fair, it wasn't nothing like what everyone probably thinks. I've hit a great second shot in, finished on it in a divot on a downslope of the bunker. I had no shot really, but it's all part of a learning curve. And obviously, if you win, you have to have the luck on your side. So it wasn't there for me.
The plus points, though, you're into the Open Championship next week, and you've secured your card for next season, which is a golfer, you know, really sort of climbing the ladder on the European Tour is massively important.
It is, yeah. I mean, 3 months ago, I was nowhere to be seen, but now I've got enough ranking points up to hopefully be in the race to Dubai as well at the end of the year, and hopefully I can carry in this form into next week.
He will some way be devastated, Paul, but then he's gained so much from the week too.
Yes, time will tell, Richard, won't it? But he's a man that's gradually working up the rankings there. What a great opportunity to win one of the biggest events on the European Tour. Didn't happen for him, but he's in the Open and he's also got enough money to play again for another year on the European Tour. So many more chances coming up over the next few months and years for Callum.
And another couple of lovely stories from the guys that qualify for the Open spots that are up for grab. Andrew Doat, who of course was in a share of the lead heading into the final round. It's going to be his first major. He and his wife were supposed to be off on this Monday, off to New York. Flight's cancelled. Sorry, we're off to Birkdale. And Mathieu Pervon, who a couple of years ago was just playing Alps Tour, got onto the Challenge Tour, first season on the European Tour. Huge prize check. Not his first third place finish this season, but his other third came in a smaller event. This was a huge prize for him. Won a huge check. Place in the Open. So two players there, they're going to play their first major championships. What a wonderful prize that is for them.
Well, it is, Andrew. What a story there. I'm sure he's had to find hotels and various things.
Listen, this is where you live, surely. You know, Southport's much nicer than New York, isn't it?
The English Riviera, absolutely not quite. But, yeah, fantastic for Andrew. But also for Mathieu, you think about, you know, like you were saying, he played in the Challenge Tour events and the Alps Tour events. So he's dreaming all this time over the last 4 years about playing in the bigger stage. And there is no stage bigger than an Open Championship. So congratulations to Mathieu, and hopefully he has a great week.
Yeah, well, five players finished in fourth, including Padraig Harrington, who, of course, won the Open the last time it was held here at Royal Birkdale. We're going to hear from Padraig later in the show when we preview the Open, but what an interesting weekend it was for him. 79-66 to finish in that fourth spot.
Yeah, amazing for Padraig. And he did thought on the Saturday when the weather was bad that his experience would have got him over the line to a tidier score. But 79, that was a surprise. But there's a true champion in you. Bounces back with 66 on the final day. And a great finish for Padraig.
And I suppose we've got to do this. Mention Rory McIlroy. I suppose the wrong reason. Second week running. He's missed the cut yet again. What kind of frame of mind does that put Rory McIlroy in heading into this Open Championship?
Well, it's not the best. He's obviously searching for things. Is that hip injury still bothering him? We don't know. We know that he's spending a lot of time working on his putting. So taking practice into a competitive environment isn't always easy. So there's a bunch of stuff going on there with Rory that we probably don't know about. But it's not a great time for him at the minute. But with great champions, you just never know when it's going to turn around. And who knows, Rory might just find a little spark. Birkdale could be the place for that. And an Open Championship is his.
Well, a little bit of wind picking up. You probably can hear a little bit of it while we sit here right by the 18th Greenport. Run us through the top 10 then at this week's European Tour event, the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open.
OK, in tied ninth position, we got Ian Poulter, Andy Sullivan, Ricky Fowler, Soren Kelson, Lee Slattery and Robert Rock. Tied fourth, Andrew Doat, Ryan Fox, Anthony Wall, Matt Kuchar, Padraig Harrington in third place on his own, Mathieu Pervon, second place Callum Chinquin, and our winner this week was Rafa Cabrera-Bello.
Well, last week in our fantasy race to Dubai tips, I went for Scott Jameson, miscut. Sorry, Scott, for tipping you up. Kiss of death, as they say. And Ricky Fowler, who finished tied ninth. Boxy, Richard Boxall went for Emiliano Grillo and Alex Noren, both of whom missed the cut. Well done, Boxy. Your form continues. In the fantasy race to Dubai game, Inigo Siganda had the best week. I wonder if he's any relation to Carlotta, who had a very good week at the US Women's Open. And Elizabeth H leads overall. And in our very own Race to Dubai show league, the Sean Ryder Cup, listener Neil Morrison is sitting pretty at the top. Paul, you're not badly placed in that, are you?
Not as good as I was at the start. I'm sinking very quickly, though, Rich. As long as I stay in front of you, I'll be quite happy.
Not hard the way I'm going. Keep an eye out on the EuropeanTour.com this week for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the 146th Open Championship. Paul, tell us the top 10, please, on the Race to Dubai.
OK, top 10, Race to Dubai. In 10th place, Hideto Tanihara. 9th is Peter Uihlein. 8th, Bernd Wiesberger. 7th, Ross Fischer. 6th, Justin Rose. 5th, Alex Noren. 4th, Rafa Cabrera-Bello. 3rd, John Rahm. Number 2 is Sergio Garcia. And the number 1 as we stand this week is Tommy Fleetwood.
Some other news to give you. Joel Scholem won his maiden European Challenge Tour title with a four-shot win at the Italian Challenge Open by Lyonnais. The Swede finished on 24 under par with Scotland's Bradley Neal and Chase Koepka of the USA tied second on 20 under. On the Seniors Tour, Philip Price was also a maiden winner. Could have been Paul Eales, he was close. Claiming the Winston Golf Senior Open, Price finishing on 14 under, one shot ahead of Thailand's Tarwon Wirachant. South Korea's Sung Hyun Park won the US Women's Open by two shots to claim her first LPGA title in her rookie season. And in Illinois, American Bryson DeChambeau claimed the John Deere Classic and in doing so, booked his place at the Open. So Paul, if you could read us through the top 10, please, on the World Golf Rankings.
In 10th place is Ricky Fowler. 9th, Alex Noren. 8th, Henrik Stenson. 7th, John Rahm. 6th, Jason Day. 5, Sergio Garcia. 4th place, Rory McIlroy. 3rd is Jordan Spieth. Number 2, Hideki Matsuyama. And our world rank number 1 player is Dustin Johnson.
Okay, so as we're sat here on the 18th green, a beautiful position to be, and the wind just picking up on what is the Monday prior to the 146th Open Championship. Of course, our attention looks ahead to who becomes the champion golfer of the year. First of all, you've touched on it, this golf course. You know it so well, Paul. Is this a kind of golf course that's going to be a tough Open test, or is it one where we're going to see some low scoring?
Well, it's the same with all venues. You're expecting a wind to blow, but you know, having seen the players last year shoot those low scores round Royal Troon, anything could happen. I'm sure, given the right weather conditions, we're going to have some low scoring this week. The rough isn't as penal as it possibly could be because of the earlier spring weather. The rough isn't as thick, but I think we're in for a fantastic championship. I really are. And the one thing the players have got to watch for, the big hazards round Royal Birkdale, are these bunkers. You get in there, Rich, you get out first of all. None of this fancy stuff trying to get the ball close and recover. Get it out. They are real tough bunkers.
Well, we've got a couple just staring us in the face right now around this this 18th green. The scoring was pretty high, wasn't it, when we were last here in 2008. We had an old boy in Greg Norman, of course, challenging as well, leading going into the final round. It is the kind of championship, isn't it, the Open, where the unknown factors can come in. Someone that you weren't expecting to be challenging suddenly comes to the fore.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be a story at some point through the week. I mean, that going back to 2008, you know, the weather was really atrocious, wasn't it? It was high winds, there was rain, and the experienced players came through. And I think that's probably what we'll see this week. You know, you need experience to contend with the difficult conditions that may come up. But as it stands now, crikey, anybody could win. It's just the most perfect Monday afternoon, isn't it?
The last couple of weeks, we've had huge events on the European Tour, $7 million events, Rolex Series events. How does this differ from what were supposedly, you know, very big events on the European Tour?
Well, you get four majors in a year, and this is one of the weeks where, you know, all the players have dreamed about winning a major. That sort of defines a career, doesn't it? Even though we've got eight Rolex Series events throughout the season. So there's another one of those going to come along. But you've only got one Open Championship, so it's very, very special. But the good thing for those guys that have played in Ireland and Scotland is that they will be used to this hard, fast-running links golf, which is very, very different to the week in, week out. And we've said that in the past. So definitely for me, I'd like to think that a champion this week is going to come from somebody that's played either both last 2 weeks or one of the last 2 weeks on the seaside courses.
Well, there's some players coming here this week that haven't played since the US Open. Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, to name a couple. Are you kind of ruling them out already then, Paul?
Well, you can never rule world great players out, and they certainly would bracket up there. But, you know, it's a very, very different golf. It's not just crash, bang, wallop round here. You've got to think your way around. The strategies are probably so much greater, and you're going to get more bad bounces. So the guys that have really got the mental toughness and the resilience, they're the ones that are going to prevail come the end of the week.
Now, we're sitting here getting a tan. I mean, it's that kind of day. The forecast, though, suggests it might be a little different, particularly over the weekend. Is that something you'd like to see?
I would. I'd like to see the wind change a couple of directions. I know Tommy Fleetwood had been here earlier on in the season to play a corporate event, and he drove the second green, the fifth green, and the 11th green. Now, you look at it today with the wind in the direction it is, people will say, well, you're mad, you can't actually do that. That's almost two woods into those holes. But that shows you just when the wind changes direction, how some of these really difficult holes can become easy holes. But it's certainly not a golf course that you can come and just overpower and whack around. It's fast running. You need to get it in the fairway. To get it close, you've really got to be playing off these tight fairways and not coming out the semi-rough.
Well, one man who'll be desperate for a good open is Rory McIlroy. He comes here, as we've said already, missing two cuts in a row. But the 2014 champion feels he's not that far away from getting back to winning form.
It's hard to sort of put my finger on it, but it's not like I'm shooting 76s and 77s. And, you know, it's all around even par, but look, even par these days isn't good enough. So I'm just waiting for something, some sort of spark, some sort of just something to go right.
While we were listening to Rory, someone's just turned up in their shorts and T-shirt, ready for a lovely summer's day. Gordon Brand Jr., former Ryder Cup player. Gordy, nice to have you here at Birkdale. What sort of week are you waiting for, Gordon? What are you expecting?
I'm expecting everything this week. I think this is going to be a practice round that they're going to learn not a great deal, because I think the weather's going to change. It's interesting, I saw an article, Tom Watson, talking about Birkdale, and he said you've got to be ready for wind changes, ready to play in a heavy wind, and if you can't do that, you're going to struggle around Birkdale. So I think this is probably, for me, one of the best, if not the best venue on the open roster. And I think it's going to be a wonderful event. And it's all to do with the weather. It's a golf course that doesn't go out and in. It's across its ways. So you never sort of hang on this nine and make hay on the way back. So it's going to be a wonderful week.
You played here in 98?
I did, actually, Rich. Yes, I did. I was doing very well. And I remember I went double bogey bogey and finished about 11th or 15th and was in a bit of a mush. But it's a golfer's golf course, this. You can't skank it round here and get away with it. It asks absolutely everything of your skills.
Well, Gordon finished well in 1998. Last time we were here at Royal Birkdale was in 2008. And that year, Padraig Harrington claimed the famous Claret Jug. Well, I caught up with Padraig and we started with his reflections of that triumph 9 years ago.
I'd hurt my wrist on the Saturday beforehand and I had no expectations. Obviously, I couldn't practice. So, and then it took any pressure off me, people thinking I was going to play even or win the tournament. So it's best when you're contending, if you can really lay off any pressure all the way up. You know, it's hard to win a tournament if from Thursday morning on you're playing like you're leading the tournament. It's a lot easier to win the tournament if you're a little bit more low profile and you have a nice, easy Thursday, Friday, Saturday and you're fresh for Sunday.
So here we are again. What are your expectations then in 2017?
I've good expectations about what I'm doing and I've no expectations about how I'll perform. Who knows how I'll perform, but a lot of things go into the actual performance. But the stuff I'm doing and I can manage, I have good expectations that I can keep on top of that and do my stuff. But as regards performance, winning the tournament, doing well in the tournament, making the cut, you know, there's a lot of things that have to fall in place for those things to happen, and many of them are outside my control.
So Padraig not ruling himself out, that's for sure. And Sergio Garcia, well, he returns to the Open Championship as a major winner, and we can now hear his thoughts ahead of the week.
I am excited about it. You know, the Open is one of my favorite tournaments of all year. I've been very relaxed in some Opens, and I've played great and been very relaxed and played maybe not as great as I would like to, but I don't think that that changes. You know, at the end of the day, when we get there on Thursday morning on the first tee, the nerves will be there, and that's not going to change, because that's what drives us. So We'll see how we're able to handle all of those.
Well, the Masters champion will be hoping that history kind of repeats itself. Marco Mira won the Masters in 98, came to Birkdale, won the Open Championship. Can Sergio do it, Paul?
Yes, he can. I mean, as all the players would say, of the top ball strikers out there, Sergio is right up there with the best of them. And as Gordon was saying, you need all parts of your game. The only one thing that possibly let Sergio down might be his putting, but to get around this golf course, you wouldn't pick a better player than Sergio to do that for you. Whether he can finish it off with a warm putter this week, we'll have to wait and see, but he's got every chance of winning the Claret Jug.
Gordon, would he be one name that sticks out for you, or is he just one of many?
No, he definitely is. He's one of many, but he's right up there on the top of the queue for this championship, and I think there'll be no excuse for him not to win it. He's got all the skills we need.
And one man who'll certainly know his way around Royal Birkdale is the local lad, Tommy Fleetwood.
If you ask anybody playing this week that's been here before, they'll say it's one of the best courses in the world, very arguably the best open venue. So if you live 5 minutes away, you're going to try and get on when you can. So yeah, I might have bunked on the odd time and hit the odd shot, but that was about as far as it goes. But it's very cool that the course that I would have crept on now and again is where the Open is and I'm only playing. I don't get to spend much time at home. Travel a lot, had a busy schedule, and it's always nice to see your friends, yeah, I mean, my face is on a lot of lampposts at the moment. But it's just nice being acknowledged.
His form is just ridiculously good, Paul, coming into this. His expectations then maybe a little too high?
No, I think it's the expectations from other people. I think Tommy's very grounded. You know, he's had a bad period in his career, maybe the last 2 years or so. In the last 9 months, he's really just come on fire. He attributes that to things off the golf course as well. He's in a good place, as he would say, at this moment in time. And Tommy's not going to build things up. Yes, he will have by far the biggest support this week from any of the players out here. And hopefully he can ride on the back of that and see him on Sunday afternoon.
Used to get on this course with his dad, didn't he, as the wind picks up a little bit more again here by the 18th. Used to get on this course with his dad, have a few holes, didn't pay, but got on nonetheless. So he knows the course pretty well.
Yeah, Tommy knows his way around here, as he does all the courses. He's a local boy, very proud of that as well. And it's nice for him to see his face on all the lampposts as he drives through the town here. Quite strange for him, but, you know, from... He, like you say, he's in a good place, and let's hope for an English winner and Tommy.
Yeah, hasn't been an English winner of the Open Championship in 25 years. And Tony Jacklin was the last Englishman to win in England. Fleetwood, one of the contenders to break that run. Now, of course, for many players, last week's Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open was a great opportunity to get used to conditions they perhaps don't normally experience. And one such player who's hoping he'll benefit from playing in Ayrshire last week is Matt Kuchar.
After the last few British Opens, I tend to revisit what I've done to get ready, and I always see what can I do better, how can I best prepare to play well at the British. And a lot of times my conclusion is come over and play the Scottish Open, get some competitive rounds in on Lynx Golf, and I think this has been a week, you know, I'm certainly glad I came over and played. Yeah, looking forward to just a fun week of golf. I think you get over to a British Open, it's major golf, it's Lynx golf, it's something unique and different, and I always get excited to go play.
Another top 10 from Cooch, yet to win a major. So we got to get down to the main contenders, Paul. Of course, it's hard to look into the crystal ball. We don't know exactly what the weather's going to do here, but just give us a few names and then get it down to maybe one European and one international player you think can walk off with a claret jug.
Okay, so we've mentioned Tommy Fleetwood, we've mentioned Sergio for their form just at the moment. Justin Rose has got great memories round Royal Birkdale. So has Padraig Harrington. Ian Poulter nearly went on to win an Open Championship that last time. But I think if I was to put my money on a winner, I'm going to go for Tommy Fleetwood as a European to win here this week. If I was looking for an overseas player, Hideki Matsuyama seems to be up there time after time after time in all these events. So I'm not putting my neck out there as world number two, am I?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty decent shout, isn't it? Before I give you my tips and get Gordon's tips as well, Paul, if you could just run us down some of the tee times. So the players that'll be teeing off on Thursday, what time they'll be off?
Give you a morning and an afternoon tee time, Rich. I'm looking at the 9:25 a.m. start time with Darren Clark, Gary Woodland and Harry Ellis. Harry Ellis is the amateur champion, was a former English amateur champion, been over in Florida at the University of Florida State. So I'm looking for that match in the morning, and Harry really to be moving on now. He's a great player, been a great player for a long time. So that's the amateur one. And then in the afternoon, 2:59, you've got John Rahm, Patrick Reed and Lee Westwood. Can Lee Westwood win an Open Championship? We say that year after year after year. So Lee plays just coming up just short of 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon.
Okay, some of the others out in the morning, 9:47, the defending champion Henrik Stenson playing with the Players' Champion Siwoo Kim and Jordan Spieth. Brooks Koepka, Hideki Matsuyama and Tommy Fleetwood at just before 10 past 10. And then in the afternoon, Dustin Johnson, the world number one, with Charles Schwartzel and Rory McIlroy. They go off just before 10 to 3 in the afternoon. I mentioned Henrik Stenson there. It was interesting hearing him speak after the Scottish Open. Admits his game isn't where it wants to be, but he's going to just enjoy the moment of being a defending champion. We were all at Troon last year. It's going to be hard to surpass that Sunday in Scotland, isn't it?
Well, it really is. I mean, we said that about Nicholas and Watson at Turnberry, the duel in the sun, but certainly what was served up by Phil and Henrik last year at Royal Troon was something very special that we were really so lucky, weren't we, to watch that. Can Henrik do it again this year? Of course he can. You can't write these fellas off. But like he said, if a player says to you his game's not quite there, then he's probably saying I'm playing rubbish really deep down. But I don't know. I'm not sure Henrik can do it. But we'll see.
Says he's not striking the ball well, Gordon. I mean, have you ever gone into a tournament feeling you can't strike the ball well but gone out the next week and shot the lights out?
Every week. Of course you do, because we're all human, and it's such a... It's small margins, this game. It's so difficult, but if anything's going to inspire him, it's coming back as DC and having a chance of picking up that claret jug again. So who knows, but... You know, there is. It's always nice to be a bit of a form horse, and if you're not on, it's tough to find it out here because it's such a demanding golf course.
So, Gordon, we got Paul's picks. What's Gordon Brown Jr. saying?
Well, I'm racking my brain to find out a European player that's as good as Tommy Fleetwood, and I'm struggling. So I'm going to have to go with Paul on that one. Is Tommy Fleetwood's got to be one of my major picks for a European, and then overseas. I love Jordan Spieth's spirit. I think he'd be a great player around here. So they're my two picks.
So Fleetwood and Spieth for Gordon. I can think of two Spaniards that would be pretty decent picks from a European perspective. So who do I go for, Jon Rahm or Sergio Garcia? I'm going to go for the Sergio double major winner of 2017. And my international is a man who's lost in a playoff here. Well, not here at Birkdale, but lost in a playoff at the Open. Mark Leishman, who just became a dad for the third time a couple of weeks ago. He's had a win this year, had a really good event on his last time out, finished fifth just a few weeks ago as well before the little baby was born. So I think that would be a terrific story, particularly given what his family have been through in the past. So Leishman and Sergio are my two. Well, it's been a real pleasure to do the Race to Dubai show outside in the grandstands, overlooking the 18th green, where all the drama is going to unfold over the next week, and where somebody on Sunday evening is going to be crowned the champion golfer of the year. Maybe one of our predictions, but given the way we normally go, probably someone else. But that's all we've got time for. Next week, we'll have a full review of this 146th Open from Royal Birkdale, and we'll look ahead to the Porsche European Open in Hamburg. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show, tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Paul Eales.
Cheerio.
And from Gordon Brown Jr.
Bye-bye.
And from myself, Richard Kaufman. Bye-bye for now.